to Matthew 2, where we just read. And our text today comes from verse 11. And I will read that, then I will pray. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Father, thank you so much for this time now where we pause and we open your word. And Lord, we hear from you in not only the reading of your word, but the preaching of your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive and lives, Lord, to be obedient to your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Merry Christmas. Good to see you all. And trust again that you've had a blessed, blessed day. But we know that the Magi or the wise men or the kings, whatever you decide to call them, we know that they were not there the night that Jesus was born. We know that. But they are associated with his birth because of their statement in verse 2 of our text, which says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" So, although, again, they weren't there that night, they were definitely there and associated. They were there because of his birth. Now, when they were there, we can't be certain. Theories range anywhere from 12 days to 2 years. But we can be certain they were there. The 12 days of Christmas. The song dates back to the Feast of Epiphany, and people, there are certain people that believe that the wise men came 12 days later, okay? Some people think because of Herod's statement of his killing all the male child from 2 years old and under, some think he was 2 years old when the wise men came. We don't know, okay? I have a theory, but my theory I will keep to myself. But we know that they were there, and they were there because of his birth. So let's not get hung up on the timing, when, but let's see why they were there, okay? Now, the Magi, they were from the east, or the Parthian Empire, which would be modern-day Iran and Iraq. And they were, these Magi were wise men. They were teachers. They were physicians. They were astrologers. They were interpreters of dreams. And we actually have in our Bible an account of probably the most famous wise men of all, and that's Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 1, in verse 17, I will read it. It says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the princes of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king." You know, a lot of times we remember the three Jewish young men that went into the fire as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but we should remember them as by this name, these names, because these are the names that their parents gave them. These are the names that speak of their God, not their Babylonian God. But getting back to the point and not going on a rabbit trail, Daniel was a wise man. Daniel was a magi. And so therefore, he's probably the most famous one. And if you read throughout the book of Daniel, you'll find that there was no one in the kingdom that was as wise, as smart, as influential as he was. So the Magi would have been familiar with Daniel. They would have been familiar with his God. They would have been familiar with the Hebrew Scriptures. And of course, they would have been familiar with Daniel's writings. Tradition tells us that there were three. And really, the only reason that we think there were three is because of the three gifts. But we're not told how many there were. We're told there were wise men, so that's in the plural, so there had to be at least two, but there could have been much more than three. My personal opinion is I think that it was a rather large caravan, because verse 3 tells us in our text that Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And if you do a little quick word study on that word troubled, it means to shake with fear. It means to be agitated. He was really upset about this. Yes, probably because of the news, but probably because of who are all these people coming to worship a king? I thought I was the king. So of course we know that they saw his star. Now, I'm of the opinion that this star was miraculous. I don't think it was a planet lining up like we just saw, although that was cool. Well, I didn't see it because it was too cloudy in Franklin. Anybody see it? I saw pictures of it, So, although that was pretty cool because that hasn't happened for 800 years, there's nothing miraculous about that. Eventually, when all these planets get spinning around, they're going to line up eventually, every 800 years or so, okay? Bill Joseph was around for the last one. I don't know if he'll be around for the next one, but, he's getting old, so. But I haven't picked on him for a while, so. So I believe the star was a miraculous star that they saw. So we know they saw his star. We know they studied the scriptures. We know that they knew the prophecies, and they followed the star to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Because that's the city of the king. And then later, after finding out that Herod didn't know anything about it, they followed the star to Bethlehem, or possibly to Nazareth. We'll leave that just with that. But they followed the star because after they left him, they saw the star again, and it led them to where Jesus was. But why did they come? Why did the wise men set out on such a long, difficult, and dangerous journey? It took them a while to get there. It wasn't like the star appeared the night he was born and then they came. I believe the star appeared before he came, and they started on this journey, traveling through the king's highway, which is called the Fertile Crescent, even though it's shorter to go from the Babylonian area straight across to Israel. That is all desert there. There's no water. So they would travel actually north and then come down because of water and whatnot. Why did these Gentiles know who was born when Herod and his court didn't seem to care? Well, I believe they knew exactly who this child was. And we can tell that from the gifts they brought. One more verse to look at before we look at our text, and I just want to warn you that we've got a lot of scripture to look at today, so limber up your fingers. But turn to 1 Kings 10. Very seldom when did kings come without bringing gifts. When one king or ruler of a country would come and visit another king, they brought gifts as a present. And we've got quite a account in 1 Kings chapter 10 where the queen of Sheba comes and visits Solomon. Verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. So she heard all about him, and she wanted to visit him, and she wanted to listen to him. And notice what she brought in verse 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. I have a note in my Bible that 120 talents of gold is 9,000 pounds. That's a lot of gold. Okay? So think about that. So, it talks about the wealth of her, and then later, of course, the wealth of Solomon. But why did they come? They recognized, first off, friends, point number one, they recognized the child's deity. Because notice what it says, our text, verse 11. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and what? Worshipped him. So here are these wise men. Here are these strangers from the east. Here are these people who looked and acted and sounded very different from Mary and Joseph, and were of a total different class of Mary and Joseph. And when they come in, and all of their caravan, they come in, they fall down and worship him. Now, I love in some of the texts, you know, that we read, that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. What did Joseph and Mary think as these men came and worshiped? And sat there and they fell down and worshiped him. Clearly, friends, clearly, this was not just a nice civil visit from one king to another. You have to remember, the star guided the Magi this far. They inquired eagerly. And they rejoiced with exceeding joy when they saw the star again, and it led them to where they were going. This was not just, hey, let's take a trip over to Israel and let's pay a visit to this newborn king. They knew who he was. They fell down and worshiped him. They knew he was the promised Messiah. They knew that he was God. They knew that he was king. They knew that he was priest. They knew that he was Savior. Therefore, they fell down before him and they worshiped him. They knew, friends, that he was God in the flesh. They knew that. And again, although this is not the night in which Jesus was born, this, they're still there, and they're associated with his birth. The birth of this child. Who is he? We just sang. Who is he in yonder stall? He's the Lord, the King of Glory. And Thursday night, during the candlelight service, we learned that the shepherds knew who he was. And now we learn today that these Gentile wise men These magi from the east knew exactly who he was. And it says in verse 11 that they opened unto him, and when they were come in, they opened unto him their treasures. They brought him treasures. And look with me at the prophecy of Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Psalm 72, starting in verse 10, the Bible says, "The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised." Now, of course, this is a far-reaching prophecy that reaches all the way to the kingdom. But friends, there is a foretaste of this prophecy when the Magi come and visit Jesus. And they bring him their treasures. They bring him their gifts. Look at Isaiah. Turn to the right a few books, and you get to Isaiah chapter 60, please. Isaiah chapter 60. Verse 3. And again, we see a prophecy here. "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Here we see a prophecy. Yes, again, that's far-reaching. But remember the star that's associated with his birth. Verse 4, "Lift up thine eyes round about to see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." Again, far-reaching into the kingdom, but we get a taste of this when Jesus was born. And again, I don't think there were just three guys with three camels. It talks about camels covering thee. There was a large caravan, I'm sure, that came, because it took a lot to travel that far. A lot of supplies. I'm sure there were a lot of servants there as well. So number one, these men recognized the child's deity. They knew he was God. Number two, they opened unto him their treasures. And number three, they presented unto him gifts, the text says. They presented unto him gifts. Now, there is something I believe very significant in these three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We just sang about it in the song. And what do these gifts represent more than just expensive treasures? And I believe they do. And first, gold is for a king. Remember, friends, they already knew this child was God in the flesh. And remember when Sheba came, the queen of Sheba came and she visited Solomon, we read, they brought gold. So they presented unto him gifts. Gold for a king. Gold for a king. Go back to Matthew 2, and let's prove from the scripture that this child is king. Matthew 2, verse 2. Notice what it says. The wise men came. They came to Jerusalem and they said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" So they recognized he was a king. Turn to chapter 27 of Matthew. The end of Jesus' life. Jesus is standing before Pilate. And in chapter 27, verse 11, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Art thou king of the Jews?' And Jesus saith unto him, 'Thou sayest.'" Are you a king of the Jews? You've said it. And notice even the accusation in verse 37 of Matthew 27. "And set over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Now they meant that to mock him. But that was true. That was a true statement. And the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't like that. Don't say that he is the King of the Jews. Say that he claimed to be the King of the Jews. But the accusation was true. He's king. Look at John, please, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 49. As he meets early on in his ministry, as he meets some of his disciples, and they meet him for the first time, Nathanael says in verse 49, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." He is the King. He is the King of Israel. Look at chapter 12 of John. Chapter 12, verse 13. This is on what we call Palm Sunday. "They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, saying, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" Sadly, a week later, they were crying out, "Crucify him." But here at this point, what are they doing? They're crying out that he is the King. And when this young child, when the wise men come into the house and see this young child, they recognize that he is the King, capital K. He's the King of Kings. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Lots of scripture today. So much better when the Bible talks and I don't. 1 Kings chapter 6. Verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show you who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords." And of course, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, when he comes the second time to set up his kingdom, we're told in Revelation 19:16, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So friends, they presented unto him gifts, gold for a king, because they knew this child, just recently born, was king. But they also offered to him frankincense. Frankincense. And this shows to us his priesthood. Frankincense was used in incense. And if you turn to Exodus 30, all the way back to Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, second book in the Bible, as Moses is receiving the instructions at this time for the tabernacle, And in the tabernacle, we know there were two rooms, the holy place and the holy of holies. And just before the holy of holies, just before the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, there was an altar of incense. And on that little altar, there were hot coals taken from the altar of sacrifice outside. And the hot coals were laid on there, and incense was put on those hot coals, and the incense, the smoke would rise. Okay? And this was representative of the prayers rising up to God of the people. And the priest would be there. And in chapter 30 of Exodus, in verse 34, we see a special formula for this incense, and it was only to be used for this incense. You couldn't, the apothecary, the perfumer, could not use this for anything else. And there's lots of words in there I can't pronounce, and I'm not going to seek to embarrass myself more than I usually do, but notice in verse 34, one of the spices is frankincense. Okay? Pure frankincense to burn on the altar of incense. Look at Revelation 8. Go back to the back of your Bible, Revelation 8, 1 to 4. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Now, isn't it interesting, friends, that in the Bible, when Moses was told to make the tabernacle, he was told to make it after the pattern which you saw. And it was a pattern of the heavenly. And you and I, we're told in the book of Hebrews that the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. And we are told, if you take what we read in Exodus 30, and what we read in Revelation 8, that incense represents our prayers, and our prayers go up before God before the throne. Every time you and I pray, if you know Christ as your Savior, our prayers go to the very throne of God. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that awesome? The very throne of God. Look at Hebrews, please. This is so important. Remember, he is king, but he is also priest. Verse 14 of Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How can you say one ministry of the Lord is more important than the other? You really can't, but friends, his ministry is our high priest. You know, we don't need a priest to go to God. Jesus says, we're told right here in the scriptures, that Jesus is our great high priest. And I have, as a priest myself, and you, if you know Jesus Christ, we are a priesthood of believers. We can offer to God sacrifices. But when we pray, we go directly to the throne of God. Isn't that awesome? What happened to the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place when Jesus died? It was torn in two. New access to God, and God no longer was going to dwell behind a curtain. He was going to dwell in His people. And when you and I pray, we have access to God. Is this an important gift? Of course it is. Were these just, hey, let's bring some gold, let's bring some frankincense, let's bring some myrrh? No. Well thought out. Because they knew who He was. This child was God in the flesh, who is King of Kings, who is the great high priest. And lastly, myrrh. They brought myrrh because they knew He was going to be the Savior. Myrrh. Turn to John 19. Now we have to put ourselves back some 2,000 years and realize that when a person died, that they did not, although the Egyptians had quite an elaborate embalming process, but they did not have formaldehyde like we have, which preserves a body. When someone dies today, if there's an open casket, if there's a viewing, they're embalmed, and that preserves. They didn't have that. And myrrh was one of the spices that were brought to wrap the body in to help preserve it, slow down the decay. But myrrh was associated with death. Look at John 19, verse 38. And after this, after what? After Jesus had died, if we read the context of 19, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate. That word besought means begged. Begged Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night. And we'll remember that from John chapter 3. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. So myrrh was used in death. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 11, we're told that this child, remember we saw this last week, we're told the angels announced to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So the wise men knew that this young child that they came to see was God in the flesh, who was King of Kings. He was the great high priest who would his ministry would allow us direct access to God, and they knew that He was the Savior who would die, not only for the Jewish people, but for them as Gentiles. So, do we think about gifts like that when we give gifts? I think sometimes we try to think a little bit, what would What would my wife like for Christmas? Guys, your wife doesn't want a vacuum for Christmas. That's not a good gift. Think about it, you know. Think about it. But these men thought deeply. They were wise men. They thought deeply. Gift. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They knew that this child was, his birth was special because God put a star in the sky to announce his birth. There were prophecies throughout the Bible to announce his birth. Let's go see this birth, this child who is born, and let us bring gifts fit for God in the flesh. Now, you've heard the phrase, wise men still seek him. Are you seeking him? Think about their journey and how long it took. A wise person will also know who Jesus is. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you realize that he is so much more than just the Savior? Thankful he's the Savior, but he is so much more than that. A wise person will worship Jesus. Do you worship Jesus? A wise person will bring Jesus their treasure. Have you brought Jesus your treasure? A wise person will present unto Jesus gifts. Have you given Jesus any gifts? What's the greatest gift we can give him? Our lives, ourselves. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are you a wise person? I want to look at one more verse in closing, and I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 45. Now let's think back here and put ourselves back in time a little bit. And these wise men coming from the Far East, coming to Israel, coming to see Jesus. Doesn't matter how old he was. But they came because of his birth. And they recognized exactly who he was. He was God residing with man. He was God in the flesh. He was King of Kings. He was the great high priest. He was the Savior. Look at Psalm 45, verse 6. Psalm 45 is a precious, precious psalm, speaking of the Messiah. But in Psalm 45, verse 6, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. What a wonderful Trinitarian verse that is, which we're not going to get into. All thy garments, verse 8, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. What do we celebrate at Christmas time? What do we remember at Christmas time? That God the Son, he stepped out of the ivory palaces of heaven. He is clothed in righteous garments, and he covers those righteous garments with flesh, so that you and I can be saved. Look at verse 6 again. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Jesus is king. Therefore they brought him gold. Look at verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The anointing of the high priest and the righteousness that is come. So Christ came to bring us righteousness. This is his ministry as priest. They brought him frankincense. And verse 8. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. The mention of myrrh, Jesus is Savior. But my friends, do you know him? Have you sought him? Have you found him? Jesus is so much more than the babe lying in a manger. We praise God for that babe lying in a manger, but that babe lying in the manger is God in the flesh. Come to earth to be King of kings and Lord of lords, to be our faithful high priest, to be our Savior. Wise men know this. Do you know this? Let's pray. Father,